Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So, happy 2022. Interest rates are at zero. Our government is printing money, $5 trillion in new money to be exact. We're told Russia's on the verge of waging war with Ukraine. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence is at a 10-year low. Inflation is at 7.5%. Something's not adding up, is it? So what can you do? You can play it safe by putting some of your assets into precious metals and keeping your money free from inflation. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, no call centers. Just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? Call 877-646-5347 or visit the website noblegoldinvestments.com.
There is action to be taken. This can be stopped. And if this is stopped, then we can retain tens of thousands of service members.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. This story is going to outrage you, as it should. As the world goes mad and we see war in Ukraine, our military is purging itself of Top Gun pilots, the best and the brightest, like the men you just saw. That was C. Scott Duncan, Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Marines. He and Hank Hortenstein and John Reed, both also Lieutenant Colonels in the U.S. Marines, are standing on the precipice of losing their careers because they refuse to take an experimental biological gene therapy. But there is something we can all do on behalf of these good men. Please call your congressmen, call your senators, call the White House itself, and tell them how angry you are that Top Gun pilots and other patriots in our military are being purged because these men want to serve our nation. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Bitcoin was up 20% in just 5 days, and now it's down 10%. Yes, crypto is a very volatile space, but that's exactly why a lot of people are making a lot of money. And I want you to know there's a way your capital gains can go tax-free legally, and you can do it through My Digital Money. With My Digital Money, you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies through a crypto IRA and not pay any taxes. And we all know how big the gains could be. Last year, Ethereum gained 450%. With a My Digital Money crypto IRA account, you don't have to pay taxes on any of that. And here's the best part. My Digital Money is giving away $50 to new cash accounts. Just use the code MDM50. Go to mydigitalmoney.com and open your account now to get your free $50. Mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. It's absolutely fantastic to have you back. I have a very, very important interview with three truth tellers, three patriots, three Marines that is an absolute must hear because they are being forced to take the experimental vaccination and to date, they have not done so. I want to introduce them now. C. Scott Duncan, Hank Hortenstein, and John Reed, all Lieutenant Colonels in the Marines. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, we'll set the stage here and y'all know what's going on, but service members must be vaccinated or face consequences, says the DOD. Can you guys see that? This is John Kirby, a Pentagon spokesman. And when pressed about why they are doing this, he says it's all about military readiness.
The only thing I would say is that what I've said before, the vaccine is a valid military readiness requirement, medical military readiness requirement. It remains such. The mandatory vaccine policy remains in effect. And that does include the National Guard. I don't have anything more to add than that. We want to see everybody get the vaccine because we think that's the best way to make a more ready force.
So that was Pentagon spokesman John Kirby, who also wants to force this thing on state National Guard members. So it's out of control. And you gentlemen, all of whom are pilots, by the way, is that true?
That's correct. Correct, sir.
Now, you guys tell me how it is a matter of military readiness to force you guys to take an experimental vaccination, the likes of which you can't even sue Pfizer for if it causes harm. And according to the VAERS database, it is doing just that. It's causing a lot of harm. It's causing a lot of death. And amongst pilots, the question is now being asked, are more planes falling out of the sky because of vaxxed pilots? We're seeing a frightening number of private and small airplane crashes just over the past year. Gentlemen, where should we start? Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
No, you bet. Thank you. And first of all, just to make a broad statement for all of us, we are here on our own personal accord, and what we speak is our personal experience and personal opinions. It does not reflect that of the Department of Defense or the United States Marine Corps. But just for a quick background on myself, I'm currently stationed here in Yuma, Arizona. I grew up flying F-18s, was stationed on the East Coast, did two carrier deployments in the F-18, and then I taught the Navy's Fighter Weapons School. After going there, I transitioned to the F-35, which is a different platform and aircraft, and then back to the East Coast to serve as operations officer and the chief instructor pilot, and then have now been with Operational Test and Evaluation Squadron 1, and we are slated to command BMFA-225 Vikings, an F-35B squadron here.
All right. And Hank, I looked a little bit at your bio and it's too lengthy for me to, it's too lengthy for me to go over. And I would just say this, if I was looking to hire a pilot, if I were a really well-heeled billionaire, I would hire any one of you guys to fly me around. But evidently the Marines can do without you if you don't take the vaccine. It's absolutely insane. Hank, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Also stationed here in Yuma. Just past my 19-year service anniversary, also a pilot, originally flew the Huey in a number of different capacities, three combat deployments between Iraq and Afghanistan. Transitioned to airplanes, took me around the world, frankly, and back here to Yuma on my second tour, where I am now currently. Served as a flight instructor in every aircraft that I've previously flown. And now serving in this capacity and hoping to speak some truth today. Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, when we saw Tom Cruise and Top Gun back in the day, everybody wanted to run out and join and become a pilot. And you guys really did it. You're the real deal. John, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I appreciate the opportunity. So I'm an F-18 guy as well by trade. I've been a longtime friend of Scott here. So we've known each other growing up as an F-18 pilot. So I was out there in Marine Corps Station at Beaufort for almost 10 years. I did 4 years with there in my first squadron and a short stint as a forward air controller with 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines. There in Afghanistan, went back to Beaufort for another 3 or 4 years and then got selected to go represent the Marine Corps on an in-service exchange tour for the Navy at the Naval Aviation Warfighting Development Center. By the way, as a Sonny Top Gun graduate here. At the time that I completed, after I completed NAUTIC, I came out here to Yuma, currently stationed here at Yuma, approaching 19 years of service, and I currently fly the F-5 November and F-5 Foxtrot. I've got 5 total deployments. 3 of those are combat, that's 1 Iraq and 2 Afghanistan.
Well, on behalf of the audience, thank you for your service, gentlemen. Now bring us up to speed. The DOD is saying that they will discharge anyone who refuses to get vaccinated with the experimental mRNA gene therapy. Where do you guys stand right now? Have you been discharged?
So we actually are in different stages of that process right now. So we all received the same order from the Secretary of Defense, and then it distilled itself down to more the local level, local leadership, as far as the timeline that you had to adhere to the Secretary of Defense's order. So right now, all of us have submitted religious accommodations. And then right now, when those came back denied, we appealed, and we have an opportunity as Marines to appeal directly to the Commandant. That appeal for myself has come back denied, for Hank has come back denied, and I think we're still waiting to hear back on John's appeal. But that's where we are in the process right now. And to your point, the next steps are to be discharged in some fashion out of the Marine Corps.
Recently, and I don't know if it was Tucker Carlson, but there was another journalist reporting on this story, and the figures that were coming back about people receiving religious exemptions or exemptions of any kind in the military were frighteningly low, something like 15 out of thousands and thousands of requests. So is it your view, gentlemen, that this is a violation of your constitutional rights? Because service members don't forfeit their constitutional rights when they join the military, do they?
Absolutely not. And we certainly do feel that it's a violation of our constitutional rights. In fact, it's a common misperception that many folks have, and some service members even, that we do forfeit constitutional rights when we join. That is not the case. Certainly, there are some restrictions However, Congress passed legislation specifically enumerating these very constitutional rights with the First Amendment and religious freedom to specify exactly what it meant for us. There's a particular piece of legislation called, commonly known as RFRA, the acronym RFRA, Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, enumerates those rights. And it's our opinion that the department's pursuit and process for religious accommodation for us, and like you said, many tens of thousands out there, is not following the commandments that are set forth in the Religious Reformation Freedom Act of 1993 whatsoever. Religious Reformation Restoration Act 1993.
Well, I want to talk to you guys about military readiness. And before I do that, though, just an aside. So my wife's half-brother was in the Marines. He flew Black Hawk helicopters in Afghanistan and then also in the National Guard upon returning home. He's now a pilot, a commercial pilot. Is it safe to say, and I think the answer is yes, that the military has invested millions of dollars in each of you to get you to be able to do what you do, like my wife's brother?
Yes, sir. I think you bring up a great point. And we are here representing hundreds of pilots that have offered their personal information. And in the course of that information being aggregated together, it represents about $8 billion worth of tax dollars spent to train approximately 350 or so military members, specifically pilots. So the cost to train an individual pilot is quite significant. And one last piece, Sean, I'd like to highlight, just like you mentioned your family member, you do not, when you replace a pilot for a pilot, you cannot immediately replace the 10 to 15 years it takes to train an individual. And so we're losing some very highly qualified individuals like John Pink here that you cannot immediately replace. So the deficit can be generational at least.
And just to kind of dovetail off of what Sonny said, it's just as a kind of a casual example, for a guy like me or Sonny to go from commissioning until they're essentially rated as an instructor pilot, for lack of a better term, that would be a Top Gun graduate, and able to train junior guys in the TTPs, that's the tactics, techniques, and procedures to employ their specific type model series in the case of Top Gun, currently F-35 and F-18. For me, I would say that I'm considered average in terms of that timeline. It was 10 years to the day from the time that I was commissioned to the time that I graduated Top Gun. So though those numbers, some may say that those numbers are insignificant in terms of, the DoD writ large, I would say that the qualifications and experience of those numbers really lends more to this is a significant potential loss in readiness that we're looking at.
Well, I'm just honored to have this conversation with you guys because you are the best and the brightest, and you are representing so many other pilots who right now are voiceless and other military members, by the way, who don't want to take this experimental mRNA gene therapy. They are silent and voiceless. Many of them are being silent out of fear, but many more want to speak out and just don't have the platform to do so. So I'm very honored to have this conversation with you guys. Let's talk about readiness. John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman, says taking this jab is all about military readiness. Does the discharge of service members who do not get the vaccine, in your view, have a negative impact on national security and readiness?
Yeah, you bet, Sean. I'll go ahead and start off that. I think there's multiple facets to that question. There is no doubt that discharging tens of thousands of service members is going to be a significant hit to readiness. And that is our concern. That is also why, whether we're engaging this platform and having a conversation with you, we've also expressed all these views with our local leadership, as well as leadership at the congressional level, to simply ask what was the cost-benefit analysis done to warrant the removal of this many highly qualified personnel. And to kind of expound on the hit to readiness, when you're talking about just simply the pilots that were willing to offer their information in a very quick 1 week grassroots movement, the average time and grade of those pilots is 14 years. And that is a significant amount of experience and qualifications that, if lost, have a further second and third order effect to the overall readiness of the Department of Defense.
I want to give each of you the opportunity to talk. So jump in, gentlemen, if you have anything to say about this. But look, it seems to me that John Kirby in this current administration, and I know you guys can't go there, so I'm going to say this, they are not acting in the best interests of this country, in my opinion. And maybe that's why the southern border remains largely open. My words, not yours. We know there's been a shortage of pilots for years. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about that? I don't think the audience realizes there is already a shortage of great pilots in the military. This is just going to make it worse.
Certainly. It's no secret that recruiting and retention are always a challenge for the department, particularly so in the aviation community of late, primarily, well, for many reasons, but one of which is a competing market on the outside. These days, particularly as previously highlighted, that 14 years average experience for the surveyed crowd, it's not just a function of time. You know, there's no replacement, can't go back and recreate those 14 years, but it's also a compounding effect. Those are the folks that are going to be training the next generation. And, you know, when you bring up generational impacts, it's also a function that feeds into recruiting. It's not just a retention and readiness factor for today. It's a recruiting and thereby readiness factor for generations to come.
Yeah, and if I can expand upon that, Sean, I appreciate the time here, but just what Hank said there, which is a potential for a generational impact, right? So I would say that we are in the near term looking at the significant impacts to readiness and retention. But use my case as my personal family background as an example. I come from a family of Marines. My dad was a Marine. My brother is a Marine. And I can tell you that I speak currently for the entirety of my family name, is that what we're experiencing now has the potential to rapidly become tangible in terms of the impact to future recruitment, because without significant near-term course corrections based on what we're seeing, I can tell you that my children, neither one of them, I will allow to serve with the current happenings.
Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Just a quick word about our sponsor. So happy 2022, interest rates are at zero. Our government is printing money, $5 trillion in new money to be exact. We're told Russia's on the verge of waging war with Ukraine. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence is at a 10-year low. Inflation is at 7.5%. Something's not adding up, is it? So what can you do? You can play it safe by putting some of your assets into precious metals and keeping your money free from inflation. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, no call centers. Just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? Call 877-646-5347 or visit the website noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you about that. Scott, go ahead. I was just going to say that my son, one of my sons, was thinking about signing up with the military about a year and a half ago. And instead, he went to a 2-year school and he loves it. So that's fantastic. He's in college now. But I had to warn him against it. I said, you know, if you go into the military, they will jab you with this thing. And he quickly, you know, turned around and decided to go to college. Scott, go ahead.
You're absolutely right, Sean. And, you know, John's example is fantastic. And that is a multi-generational family. I just spent a lot of time with future leadership in a leadership school context. And several of those young men and women are no longer looking at the service as an option for employment for this exact reason. And just to provide some statistics of those pilots that offered a report to Congress because of their concern, 69% of those individuals are flight instructors. So what that means is that they are responsible for training the next generations of pilots, in our example, fighter pilots, that come up through the ranks. So they have got to have quality instruction over time. 9% of those individuals were weapons school graduates, such as Top Gun. Like John already alluded to at the very beginning, that is the top echelon of a training continuum. And if we lose those individuals, they're responsible to ensure that those squadrons are ready for combat. So it's a significant impact across the qualifications to include the numbers of individuals. I think approximately 19% of those individuals were involved in the nuclear program. So it is quite a significant hit to overall readiness, especially in a environment as well as a cross-section where we don't have too many. In other words, there was never a situation in the last several years where we've had too many pilots. And that's just one example.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. I appreciate that. And what occurs to me as we're having this conversation, again, is that this thing is an experimental vaccine. And it's really not a vaccine. It is an mRNA gene therapy masquerading as a vaccine. And the ingredients have not been released by the manufacturers. Do you guys realize that? We don't even know for sure what is in this thing, but some researchers around the world, like La Quinta Columna and others, are finding very, very dastardly ingredients, let's just say, nefarious ingredients. And it just begs the question, why is this being forced on our military? Why is this being forced on you guys? And what are you asking the military for right now? Are you asking for an exemption? If so, what type of exemption? And what do you think the chances are you're going to get that exemption?
Well, I fit into the same, personally, the same category as Scott here, meaning that my exemption, the religious accommodation that I sought, like Scott, was already denied the first time and has been denied at the appeal stage also. So the published process is actually complete and it has been officially denied. That, like I said, was a religious accommodation. What I was specifically seeking, yes, was exemption from the shot on the basis of religious grounds. We were instructed to provide what was described as viable alternatives. You know, if we weren't willing to accept the shot, then what viable alternatives might we propose? Many of us suggested we continue to socially distance, wear masks, et cetera. Some of us asked for, you know, in compromise, different voluntary methods to lead the service instead of involuntary administrative separation. You know, some of us asked for an early retirement. These things have also been denied without explanation, despite that they would, you know, ostensibly achieve the same result to effectively have folks like ourselves be able to voluntarily separate instead of involuntarily separate and forfeit the, you know, in some cases, 95% of the pension that we have earned and our families have sacrificed for to earn throughout our entire careers.
So wait, let's be clear on that. You would lose 95% of your pensions as well?
I should specify a little bit. You actually lose 100% of your pension. When I say 95%, what I mean is of a typical timeline to earn a pension, which is 20 years, having served 19 years of that, you've earned 95% of it, right? Mm-hmm. So that would effectively become zero. So we would not, under administrative separation prior to 20 years, get any of the pension whatsoever. And in fact, under the proposed characterization for discharge, which is general under honorable conditions, which is not an honorable discharge, we would also forfeit our GI bills. So many of us have served additional obligations, in my case, an additional 4 years, in order to transfer those GI Bill benefits to our children. But with a general under honorable discharge, we would also forfeit that.
If I can expand upon that, Sean.
Yeah, please, because it's an outrage.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit delayed, you know, circumstances compared to Sonny and Hank here. But so my initial religious accommodation request was denied, and I'm currently awaiting final adjudication of the appeal to that initial religious accommodation request. That should happen in between like 60 to 90 days, something like that. So that's my own personal circumstances. Just to really kind of expound upon what Hank said, the reason that this is, or I guess to articulate how important this is to us, is that all three of us sit here, we are ready to lose everything that we've worked for the last, you know, 18 to 19, over 19 years, in terms of that pension and potential benefits and for a family, but the complete loss of retirement, because this is so incredibly important to us, right? It's not just us saying that. I know I speak for a lot of people across the DOD in the exact same circumstances. The magnitude of how important that is to them is the reason that we are here.
All right. Well, the reason for my outrage, and I know many of the listeners are definitely outraged about this, is this. I quote him a lot. E. Michael Jones, the author, has said that hell is the absence of logic. And this is all so illogical. So let me be clear, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong. You're not being stubborn. You just don't want to take an experimental mRNA gene therapy. And again, I must stress that it is experimental. It has not been fully approved by the FDA. Now, they would say, yes, it has. Comirnaty, or whatever the name of the brand name of this thing, has been approved, but that hasn't been manufactured yet. So what is being shot into the arms of our military members is experimental. So you guys help me understand the law. Like I told my son, when you sign up, they can poke you with whatever they want, except I don't think they can poke you legally, jab you with an experimental agent. So is that the crux of the issue here?
That is certainly, you know, Sean, you bring up a great point, because that is a true statement according to the law. The leadership's interpretation of the law is that they are interchangeable. And that is the reason why you will see the grammar used, such as FDA approved. You'll also see Pfizer BioNTech and then Comirnaty. And because of that, they're used interchangeably, quote unquote, interchangeable, although they still have a legal distinction and they're under different letters of approval for the FDA, one being the emergency use authorization and then one being the full fairly approved. We can also speak firsthand on our experiences going to the clinic here just to have an idea of what was available on hand. It is Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. Those are the only options that are available. And there's nobody that we're aware of inside the United States that has the actual Comirnaty available in their inventory. But you are right. There are multiple facets to our objection to this, and that is certainly one.
Well, isn't that just convenient for Pfizer and Moderna? Because under emergency use authorization, they can't be sued if you guys fall out of the sky and die. They can't be sued if you get myocarditis. They can't be sued if you get pericarditis. They can't be sued if you get some life-threatening ailment like blood clots, which end your career. They can't be sued for that. How convenient. What you're hearing is my outrage as hell is the absence of logic, and this is absolute hell. You guys are going through hell, but like good Marines you are, you go under the wire first, right? On behalf of all of us. So I want to thank you for that. Is there anything I'm missing here? Is there anything we can do? Is there anything my audience can do? Is there any actions that can be taken to help you guys in this fight?
One thing we want to communicate is that despite that these circumstances sound relatively dire, it's absolutely not too late. You know, there's certainly been hundreds that have already been separated. However, there's still 10,000 plus potentially undergoing the same fate in the coming months. But it's not too late to protect religious freedom. Getting this message out to your audience and the American population is key. Those folks, if they feel so inclined, engaging various levels of leadership, whether that be political or community or their respective churches, and speaking to their friends, is just letting folks understand what the reality is for the three of us and 10,000 plus other service members on a daily basis that many folks just don't have the exposure to is key.
Guys, I'm going to end with a quote from Yuri Bezmenov, ex-KGB from 1984 in a second. But before I do that, gentlemen, is there a way for people to follow you? Are you on social media? Does that matter to any of you guys? If so, now would be a time to shout it out. Otherwise, Scott, I know that you have some final words you want to leave us with as it pertains to people taking action and reaching out to Congress critters and other politicians about this.
No, Sean, just like you mentioned, Hank reiterated it very well. There is action to be taken. This can be stopped. And if this is stopped, then we can retain tens of thousands of service members. And what we would advocate and ask people to do is to take that next step, engage in their local leadership, their state leadership, their congressional leadership, even at the federal level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, where is Rand Paul on this? Where is the leadership on this? They need to be a heck of a lot more vocal as it pertains to our patriots in the military. I want to end with this quote from Yuri Bezmenov. This was shared on the Brendan O'Connell YouTube channel, and it's got great dramatic music. Quite fitting, I would say. Listen to this.
Ideological subversion or psychological warfare changes the perception of reality to such an extent that despite the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. Yuri Bezmenov, ex-KGB, 1984.
Why do I share that? Well, because that is what I believe is happening right now to good men and women in the military and all over our country. Again, that's why the southern border is wide open. It's the absence of logic. These three men you see before you, friends, are true patriots. They're going under the wire first on behalf of so many of us in this country who will never, ever bend the knee and take the mRNA experimental injection under any circumstances. Our guests have been C. Scott Duncan, Hank Hortenstein, and John Reed. Gentlemen, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
God bless you, patriots. All right, friends, thank you so much for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. And guys, for real news every single day for free, visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
People are dying in the hospital from remdesivir plus ventilator. I think all of them should be charged for murder. All of them, not just Dr. Fauci. And I can say that as a board certified medical doctor, that I think that physicians who fail to look at the facts, who fail to look at other options, and are continuing to goose step to what the algorithms are for the sake of the bonuses that they're getting, all of them should be tried for murder.